Welcome to Radar Contact, the audio show that teaches pilots how to speak professionally and with confidence to air traffic control. If you have avoided contact with air traffic control because you just didn't know what to say or didn't know how to say it, Radar Contact is going to change the way you fly and communicate. And now here's your host, airline pilot, author, and host of ATCCommunication.com, Jeff Canarish.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Radar Contact. Oh boy, I have so much to talk about with you in this show. It's going to be a challenge to fit it all in 20 minutes. So please, if you aren't already sitting, pull up a chair, have a seat. Let's get started. In our last show, we talked about receiving VFR traffic advisories and traffic alerts from ATC. Specifically, what do traffic advisories and alerts sound like and how should you respond? In the notes for that show, I remarked that all the examples I provided were situated in uncontrolled airspace where you, as the pilot in command, had a lot of latitude in how you chose to respond to ATC's advisories and alerts, up to and including not following ATC's directions to avoid traffic. I also promised that in the next show, I'd cover how ATC's traffic surfaces differ when you're operating in Class C and even in Class Bravo airspace. So let's go over that right now. If you look in the Aeronautical Information Manual where it discusses radar service for VFR aircraft operating in Class C airspace, you'll notice it says ATC may provide radar sequencing, but they won't provide traffic separation. That's odd, isn't it? I'll explain what the AIM means by that in just a second. First, let's cover very briefly how to participate in Class C radar service, and then we'll get into the specifics of what ATC offers. Let's say today you're going to fly in VFR into Dane County, Truax Field in Madison, Wisconsin. About 25 miles out from the airport, you dial up Madison Approach in your radio, and you check in with the controller. The controller will give you a transponder code to squawk and tell you what you are in radar contact. What's next? Madison Approach is going to assume you want radar service as you proceed inbound to Truax Field unless you say negative radar service. Bear in mind, you will remain in radar contact from this point forward until you land at the airport, whether you want radar service or not. That approach controller is going to follow you all the way to the airport, even if he doesn't provide instruction. And if you do refuse radar service, Madison Approach will tell you to contact Madison Tower at the airport. The tower controller will then work you into the landing sequence. If you do not say negative radar service, in other words, if you just decide to volunteer and follow along, then Madison Approach will put you in sequence with other aircraft inbound to land at Madison. Even if you just want to pass through Class C without landing, Madison will still fit you into the overall flow to ensure your safe transition through the airspace. Let's get back to the statement I made earlier that said ATC will provide sequencing to participating VFR aircraft, but they will not provide separation. That sounds pretty ominous. Does that mean ATC will not keep you separated from other aircraft, but instead say to you, good luck, don't hit anybody, you're on your own? No, that's not at all what it means. When the AIM says ATC will not provide separation, what it means is, in Class C, ATC will not adjust your airspeed or altitude to provide a specified minimum spacing between you and other aircraft in the area as they would for IFR aircraft. In fact, all ATC will do with regard to separation in Class C is ensure IFR aircraft remain at least 500 feet above or 500 feet below your aircraft as a minimum as you pass directly over or under each other inside the airspace. Or, if vertical separation is not possible, ATC will direct aircraft so that there's some visible gap between targets on the controller's radar scope. Controllers call this gap green between, meaning the controller can see some space between radar targets on his green radar display. Now, the official term for that, in case you're interested, is called target resolution. But let's say you're in Class C and there is another VFR aircraft headed your way. In that case, ATC will give you the standard traffic advisory calling out the other aircraft's clock position, distance, heading, and altitude if known. It's then up to you whether you've got that traffic in sight or whether it's negative contact. And if it is negative contact and you can't avoid the traffic on your own, if it looks like the two of you may be on a collision course, ATC will give you the standard traffic alert and suggest a heading to avoid traffic. And then it's up to you whether to follow that suggested heading or to come up with an alternate course of action. So, when the AIM says ATC will not provide separation between aircraft in Class C, that doesn't mean ATC will let airplanes hit each other. It means a controller will not provide standard separation rules for VFR aircraft that ATC normally uses to separate IFR aircraft. But remember, whether you're in Class E, Class D, Class C, or even Class B airspace, as pilot in command, you're required to deviate from ATC's clearance as necessary to maintain VFR cloud clearances and minimum in-flight visibility according to the visual flight rules. And per Federal Regulation 91, paragraph 123, you may also deviate from any ATC clearance to resolve an emergency, to avoid a collision, or in response to a traffic resolution advisory broadcast by your airplane's TCAS system. And that, of course, assumes that your airplane has a TCAS system installed that commands a climb or descent to avoid a collision with another aircraft. It's a fairly expensive system, and most pilots don't have it. But if you've got it, and you're told to climb or descend in response to TCAS, go ahead and do it, and then advise ATC that you received that resolution advisory and you're deviating. Same thing applies if you have to deviate for an emergency or to avoid violating VFR weather minimums or an absent TCAS warning. You simply must deviate to avoid a collision on your own. You must advise ATC of your deviation as soon as possible. Again, that's spelled out in Regulation 91.123. Well, even though this was a fairly extensive discussion of traffic advisories versus traffic sequencing, there still may be some open issues or questions in your mind. If you have questions, I've got answers. Write to me at jeff@atccommunication.com and we'll hash it out by email. Now, we had a whole bunch of people write to me over the last couple weeks because I invited them to do so, saying that if I chose their question out of all the emails that I get in those particular two-week period, I'm going to pick one of them and air them on this show. And I happen to get a really good question from a person named Mickey, and here's the phone call that happened as a result of that question. How are you doing today, Mickey?
I'm not too bad. How about yourself, Jeff?
Doing real well. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about the kind of flying you like to do?
Mostly recreational flying. I live in the Northeast, and I basically just go to smaller airports. I've got about 400 hours flying time.
What type of airplane do you fly?
I've got a 1963 172 Cessna.
Wow. Do you keep that hangared inside or outside?
No, I keep it outside.
Does it show its age, or are you able to keep it up pretty well? Winters are kind of harsh up in the Northeast.
Yeah, no, it's actually in pretty good shape. I mean, I keep a cover on it, but I just bought it last year, and the guy who had it before me kept it in real good shape.
Oh, excellent. Is it, how old's the engine? Do you have some time before overhaul?
It's got approximately, 600 hours on the engine. They're good for 1,800, I guess.
Oh, excellent. So that does sound like a good deal. You wrote to me an email, and I really liked your question. Do you fly VFR exclusively, or are you also IFR rated?
No, I'm just VFR.
Okay. So you had a pretty good question that had to do with VFR flying, and if you could just sort of restate that question, I'll do my best to answer it for you.
Yeah, I was just curious. When departing a Class D airport that has clearance delivery, are you required to contact clearance delivery or just contact ground if you're looking for flight following on a VFR departure?
Well, it's a good question. You know, at Class Delta airports, clearance delivery is there primarily for IFR aircraft. Very rarely, I don't want to say never, but very, very rarely would you be required to contact clearance delivery prior to departing out of Class Delta by contacting clearance delivery and picking up your transponder and departure code for VFR flight following. Generally, you would do that after airborne with the nearest air traffic control agency. Now, I don't want to say absolutely never contact clearance delivery because you may be flying out of an airport that is contained within Class E airspace. It's kind of a weird deal. Sometimes Class C will overlap Class D. And if it's extremely busy airport, there may be a requirement to do some prior coordination before you depart. The single best way to know whether you should contact clearance delivery or not at any airport is to listen to ATIS, the Automatic Terminal Information Service. And if you hear them say this, all departing VFR aircraft contact clearance delivery on, and then they'll give you a frequency, and then they'll say prior to taxi, that's your clue to contact clearance delivery. But unless you hear that on the ATIS code, or unless it's printed somewhere in the airport NOTAMs, no, you don't have to do that. You just contact ground.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Okay. And I will tell you, in most Class D airports, even if there is a clearance delivery there for IFR aircraft, very often, especially with the budget cuts the way they are, it's usually the ground controller that's managing clearance delivery at the same time.
The same person.
Yeah, you're talking to the same guy, just on two separate frequencies. Right. They do keep that frequency separate, though, because at certain peak traffic hours off very busy airports, they will bring in an additional controller to man that position because the ground controller will be so busy controlling ground traffic that he can't talk to all those IFR airplanes on a separate frequency at the same time.
So yeah, that makes sense.
So just like everything else in life, it really depends on the airport you're at and the circumstances in which you find yourself. The general rule is no. For VFR flight following, unless ATIS says otherwise, you can just contact the ground controller. And either they can get the frequency and transponder code for you, or more generally what they'll do is they'll tell you to contact the nearest air traffic control frequency after you're airborne.
All right, yeah.
Well, it's a really good question, and I do appreciate your time. And Mickey, you've also won a free 30-minute coaching session with me for working on your radio calls, and we can work out another time to accomplish that.
Oh, great.
Well, I do appreciate your time, Mickey, and thank you so much for checking in with me.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for your help.
Okay, thank you. Write to me at jeff@atccommunication.com. I will always answer you by email no matter what you ask. And if your question is really good for other listeners to hear, I'll include it on this show. And if your question is chosen, you will automatically win a free 30-minute coaching session with me about radio communication procedures, and they can be about VFR-COM or IFR-COM. We'll just talk about exactly what you need and when you need it. And now, I have a question for you. I'm sure you're aware of sequestration. It was basically the federal government's program to cut back spending. In particular, what we are concerned about is how did sequestration affect air traffic control? Although sequestration became effective March 1st, beginning April 1st, many air traffic control towers across the country are going to be closed or partially closed. So here's my question to you. How is that going to affect you where you fly? Are you worried about the consequences? Do you fly in and out of a tower-controlled airport in which the tower is scheduled to close? Let me know about how that may affect your flying and what your concerns are. Write to me at jeff@atccommunication.com. And what I'm going to do with all that information is put together a complete article on the subject for our next podcast. Another way to get in touch with me, I'm now at Twitter. My Twitter ID is Jeff_ATC, and you'll find a link to follow me at Twitter at the atccommunication.com website. If you'll just look on the right-hand margin of any page, you'll see a follow me at Twitter icon. You can click that. And the cool thing about Twitter is, Occasionally, things come up, thoughts about air traffic control, special observations, that really don't lend themselves to writing a full article or a complete segment of this audio show. So if you'd just like to hear some interesting tidbits about air traffic control, follow me at Twitter. Book sales of Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots has been continued to be brisk, and if you happen to buy a book in the last several weeks, I'd like to give you a special shout-out. Thank you for participating. And if the book raises any questions, I've already told you several times how to reach me. Just use that address I've said so many times. I'd be glad to discuss anything in the book. There is another book coming down the pike, and I'm almost done with it. It's a companion workbook to Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots. One of the things it says in the beginning of the Aeronautical Information Manual, and your instructor, flight instructor, probably told you this at one time or another, is you need to think about what you're going to say on the radio before you pull the trigger and make your radio transmission. So the point of this workbook is to train your brain and get you to think about what to say on the radio before you say it. To do that, I've created a whole gamut of scenarios in which you are placed in an aircraft in a particular air traffic control situation, and it asks you, what would your response be in this particular situation? And there's one other cool part of this workbook that I didn't do in my original Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots. I actually have segments called Think Like an Air Traffic Controller, in which you get to put on the hat of an air traffic controller and look at radio transmissions from the other end of the antenna. It's really a lot of fun. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, this is kind of a pre-announcement because the workbook isn't quite ready. In my next show, not in this one, but coming up very soon, I'm going to ask for 10 people who would like to receive the workbook for absolutely no charge. There is a little stipulation. I'm going to ask you to go through the workbook and actually be my editors. I'd like you to run through the workbook, see what you like, don't like about it, and just give me feedback so we can improve it before it actually hits the shelves. Again, this is a pre-announcement. I'll let you know in the next show how you can sign up to be a volunteer to receive a free copy of my workbook about how to make VFR radio calls. And now, let's get to your question of the week. To provide traffic advisories and alerts, ATC has to know three important pieces of information about your aircraft. First, ATC needs to know who you are. This is your call sign, of course. Second, an air traffic controller needs to know where you are. Your position includes your aircraft's location over the ground and your aircraft's altitude. Third, ATC needs to know where you are going so the controller can project ahead to see if your flight path might conflict with another airplane's flight path. Once your aircraft is in radar contact, your aircraft's identity and location will be updated each time the controller's radar sweeps across your aircraft and interrogates your transponder. Your flight path is also tracked by radar so ATC can project where you're headed. Mode C on your transponder updates your altitude. When you switch from one controller to the next, your transponder ensures the new controller receives all of the same information provided to the previous controller. Now here comes your question. If radar updates your aircraft's identity, location, and flight path, and your transponder's Mode C reports your altitude to ATC, why does ATC require you to check in with each new controller by stating your current altitude? When you think you know the answer to that question, go to atccommunication.com/answers. There you'll find a complete answer along with an explanation of how that answer was derived. Music for this show was provided by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com on a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Well, as I was recording this week's audio show, a thunderstorm passed overhead and I looked out the window and there was marble-sized hail falling on the front lawn. If you happen to be flying the next day or so, I hope you find a lot better weather than what we're experiencing currently here in Atlanta, and I hope you have a wonderful time the next time you fly. I'm Jeff Canarish for Radar Contact and ATCCommunication.com, saying be well, keep in touch, and fly safe.